The 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
The Huskies got a 2-1. Bring it up across the line. Ian Smith looking in front. Sasha just scores! Missed the end! Put it in!
I am a Uper.
They'll flip it up to Reitmeier. He holds it in. Here comes Grayson Reitmeier. He'll shoot! Scores!
I love UP.
Oh, what a play by Michigan Tech!
And my heart is here.
Save it for Misiak. Misiak, wraparound attempt. Break to the front of the goal. It's behind him! Scores! It's in the net!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Pisani Company Distributing, Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson in Houghton, the Turbo Agency in Hancock, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet, and Peterlin Distributing of Calumet. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, thank you very much. It is time to talk Michigan Tech hockey for the next 60 minutes, and head coach Joe Schott is with us. We're also anticipating Tommy Paratino will be here in a little bit. We'll chat with him as he has been playing really well for the Huskies. The Huskies coming off a split last weekend at Alabama Huntsville and winning 4-1 on Friday night, losing 3-1 with an empty net goal on Saturday night. Coach, welcome back to the studio. How you doing today, buddy?
Doing well. Excited to get ready for this week.
I bet. It's Winter Carnival week. It's always a highlight of the Michigan Tech schedule, and we can't wait to see Damon Witten's team come in here and play the Huskies on Friday night and Saturday afternoon. Disappointing that we didn't get the win on Saturday night. Very encouraging, I thought, Friday night in that third period, Coach, down a goal and coming out with four really hard-nosed goals to win that game 4-1.
Yeah, I thought we set the table pretty well for Saturday night. I thought we made some real gains on how we did it. You know, we had 18 shots, I think, in the first period, a number of scoring chances. We had nearly 90 attempts at their net during the game. But the scoring chances in the first period were direct shots on the goal where their goaltender Sinclair is a very good goaltender. He, as a matter of fact, we didn't beat him with a shot all weekend long. We never beat him. So the question came in last week about these goalies of the week and things like that. We make goalies of the week. You know, we didn't beat him with a shot all weekend. The encouraging part, really encouraging part on Friday is how we scored our goals. You know, when we often have your voiceover on the goal, on the game, we're watching it back so that we get that feel as well as to what you're seeing up top and picking up. And that's a huge asset. You know, that was part of my responsibilities when I was at Lake State, was to travel, do the radio, things like that, so that it provided that sort of insight as to what the team was working on. So I appreciate that. And your comments on that were who scored that goal. Mm-hmm. I think that's the type of goals that you have to get. We had a lot of traffic. Everyone was a scramble goal, a deflection goal, a rebound goal, a battle around the net area where you have to go to score goals. So that paid off, and that was the message for Saturday. Fellas, that's how we score. That's where they're going to come from. I thought we did a really good job. That was the encouraging part of the growth process with us, that I really appreciated, really enjoyed, really complimented out of Friday's game, because that's the offensive compete that we're talking about. Get into those hard areas, because in the game of hockey, that's where things happen. You know, I think I said last week on the show, if you want to find a spouse, you have to go to where they are. They aren't going to come to your door and, you know, wherever that is. Now people are saying, oh, what's he going to say now? But wherever that is, you have to go to find that spouse. Same thing. If you want to score goals, you have to get to where they go in the net. And in hockey, they go in the net, you know, mostly around the net.
So it was a 1-0 score in favor of Huntsville after they scored this goal on Friday night.
Hold it is. Goats. Good play by Goats. Hit a safe skate and back the other way. Now come the Chargers. Across the Michigan Tech line, bringing it in on the left side. Scores! Right to the front of the net. Liam Isaac was able to carry it down. And again, the Huskies had players back, and it just kind of bounced up in the air and somehow found its way in the net. And it's a 1-0 Chargers lead.
I know we had a defenseman that was beat on that one, but how exactly did that go in, Coach?
Good question. I mean, your analogy, your call of the play is exactly the way that a lot of things go on us. The first goal on Saturday will probably sound very similar to that, where we're defending well, we're doing everything, we're doing things well. The Ferris State goal, 3-on-3 last week, and in the winning goal, everything's going well, and then the guy just gets beat, and somehow it ends up in our net. It's not like, I mean, there are times where, I mean, I remember Fairbanks, where they held it in our zone at Fairbanks, that winning goal that they got on Friday night, or on Saturday night. Here it is. Oh, they're doing this, they're doing that, they're doing this, they're scoring. This isn't good. You know, there's a lot of that. Most goals are going on us aren't that. They're just something that happens. The puck goes in the net. We give up 17 scoring chances on the weekend.
Wow.
We created 49. We give up 17 scoring chances on the weekend, 6 Saturday night. We're defending well. I mean, you can't ask for more than that. You're not going to give up less than that than we give up on Saturday night. You're not going to give up less than 6 scoring chances in a game. Just not going to happen. You got to think about that. I'm talking about where they had a chance to score. It's a legitimate scoring chance. 6. So I have no explanation for that goal. It's just something that just goes in the net, and that's how they happen. The good thing about it is we're, I believe, 7th now in the country in goals against average. We were just talking about what was the stat you gave me? 7 goals.
We've only given up 7 goals in the last five games,
and we're 500. 7 goals in the last 5 games, and it's not like we're not generating offense. A lot of good things. I this team is working extremely hard. They're receptive. The mood is good. They're doing what they can do. We're working on getting better at the areas we need to get better to get to turn these into wins.
Huskies then down one goal going into the third period, and they kind of started lighting it up with some good muck goals right around the crease, and got 4 of them. Didn't know he had a guy going in. Rainbow take another shot. Here's Piratino now from behind the net. Centers it all the way back. Here's Rockwell with a shot. This one rebounded. Scores! Ray Bryce put in the rebound, I think. And the Huskies have tied it up 1-1. And a nice shot by Rockwell at the point. Big rebound by goaltender Sinclair. And Ray Bryce, who was down on his backside, just kind of swung his stick around and put it in for a tying goal. And Rockwell from his own blue line now will skate to get that red line and then dump it in. He'll take a hit, dumped all the way in. Sinclair comes out of his net to play it right to the front of the goal. A shot and a score! Misplayed behind the net. And the Huskies have taken the lead, as it looks like it's going to be Saretsky who banged home the rebound off of the post, and it's a 2-1 Michigan Tech lead. Huskies back to Donahue at the point. Donahue, right side for Goats. Goats pass to the front, right at the doorstep. Sinclair makes the save, scores! It went in! Hallinen with the goal as he kept batting at it, and the Charger goaltender Sinclair thought he had it. But they rule it a goal, and the Huskies, if it stands, have taken a 3-1 lead on a power play tally by Brian Hallinan. Lukewarm second period where they gave up a goal, and now they've come out in the third period and played really well. Here's a chance for Bliss. Bliss with a pass down low, just out of reach of Fietola, who was right at the doorstep. Right to the front of the goal, and a score! I think Fietola's going to get credit for it as he sent it to the goal, and it went off of something or somebody in front, maybe even Sinclair's inside pad. And went in, and Pietola will get credit for it. And that's another goal for the Huskies here in the third, 4-1. They lead with 5:28 remaining. I just love all of those goals. They were
I love them too. They make a coach proud. Mm-hmm. You know, all those body punches around the net open up that other stuff that most guys like to do. All those things. The people just heard exactly what we listened to. I think he got it. I think Bryce got it. I think that one went off the front of the net. I think Pietola got it. Hallinan just kept banging at it. It looked like Saretsky might have got that off the back. I mean, those are the goals that make you proud. That's why I was so optimistic and so in my post game so late, even with the team. And I'm always cautious because, like I said, I we have a group of guys that I feel like to take their foot off the gas. So I'm going to compliment them. I'm going to let them know. But it's always with I just tighten up when I really give them those compliments, because what happens Saturday happens. You know, it just seems to always go that way. And again, such a great group of guys. I wish we had that tenacity, that just overall killer instinct tenacity. You know, you want to enjoy the heck out of yourself. Look up the Kobe Bryant stuff. Like, look up the Kobe Bryant stuff. The reason he's flying a helicopter is because, and what reason he started doing it is so that he could do his thing, get to the rink, do his hard workouts, then do his practice, then helicopter home to pick up his kids and spend his time, because he liked that 20 minutes in the car with his kids. His wife says, "I can do it, Kobe. I can pick him up. I know you're a busy man." That's my time. So he helicopters to beat the traffic. Those are the commitments, the overall drive in Kobe Bryant. You know what I mean? And all the things that you see about him, I wish all that stuff would come out about some of these guys, like it does about Mahomes right now, the quarterback for the Chiefs. All the things that these guys do. Drew Brees has a great tweet out where he's there for 45 minutes. A guy's there watching Drew Brees. He's the only guy in the stadium. How old is Drew Brees? 40? And he's now the all-time leader in touchdown passes or yardage or something. And he's just in there going through all the motions of the plays he would make, the footsteps, and he's visualizing in his mind what he would do. And this guy's watching him, and he's narrating. He says, "This is a champion. This is a champion." And he's walking through the whole game, and that guy was there doing that for 45 minutes watching him, and he left before Drew Brees did on the day before a game, walking through the game. The commitment level it takes to be great, you know, and the great ones have that. The great ones have it.
Yeah, final shots in that Friday night game. Michigan Tech with 44-19 for Huntsville. Huskies 1-for-4 on the power play. 10 power play shots on goal. The power play looked really good on Friday night.
It did. Move the puck quick, and we attacked, yeah.
And UAH was 0-for-1 on the man advantage. Sinclair with 40 saves. Matt Jerusik with 18. The Huskies win 4-1. We go to Saturday night's game against the Huntsville Chargers. They score the first goal of the night.
Scoreless here in the first period. 11.5 remaining. Play inside the Michigan Tech zone. Loose puck picked up by Wood. Wood with a pass to the front, and they score! Wood with the pass to the front, and it went off of a Husky and in the net. No chance for Jerusik on that play. And a nice play there by the Huntsville Chargers. They lead for the second time this weekend, 1-0.
Well, it just looked like a totally bad break for us, Coach, on that.
Yeah, we lost a battle, a corner battle, a 3-on-2 for us, and they came out of it. And then when they attacked, they threw on the puck to the front of the net, and it went off of a Meeker skate and went in. So, and it's interesting. You're going to get to the second goal now, and it's interesting. After the first period, I talked to the guys about it because you could see the game was being officiated differently. And I told them the tough part about this, let's not leave this one loose here and wait, because the tough part about how the game is being officiated is that the offense that they're going to be able to create against us, which was, as I talked about, six scoring chances against, is going to be on the power play. And it looks like the referee is going to give them those opportunities. So as they get these opportunities, and we talked about this after the first period, let's not leave it where they're hanging, because all of a sudden they're going to slop a second one in, and then it's a whole different ball of wax. Regardless of what's going on 5-on-5, the power plays both ways will neutralize that and give them some offensive opportunity that they aren't generating 5-on-5, and that's ultimately what ended up happening.
They do score a second goal on the power play in the second period.
Back up top again. Chargers with control on the power play. They work it to the right side. Shot, this one, right to the front of the goal. Loose puck right there, they score! Power play goal for the Chargers with 2:23 left in the second period. And it's 2-0, Huntsville.
Quite a scramble there, Coach, it looked like, mm-hmm. And then the puck kind of just bounced loose, and nothing that didn't look like anything Jerusik could have done on that one after the
No, no, save. It was a missed coverage in front. We got overextended on the penalty kill. I believe there was only like 13 seconds right. left of a 2-minute power play, and we hadn't even been able to get those guys off. We couldn't get the clears. We couldn't win a battle. So ultimately, it ended up in us unable to fully recover and protect the front of our net. But again, you look at the goals that they got. They got 3 on the weekend. Outside of the empty net goal that they got, and they're all the same thing. You know what I mean? You're saying, how did that happen? How did, you know, this thing has scrambled in front of the net in the power play? So that's where it happens. That's where everything happens. And we just weren't able to get that, you know, that grinder on the net. Now, what I will say this is Tommy just came in here. We're going to get a chance to talk to Tommy Paratino. You're going to hear his goal coming up, and he is a guy, and Brian Hallinan is a guy who are getting to the front of the net and doing some really good things. A couple of the big goals he got, including the shorthanded goal against Michigan State that got us back going to tie that game in the third period at the GLI. Tommy is playing, and we've been really complimenting him on his efforts. He's doing a great job. as is Brian Hallin, and those guys are getting pucks into hard areas and going into hard areas, and it's paying big dividends. And like I always say, it's one guy at a time, one guy at a time. We talked about Tommy last week, how what a great job, how his consistency is really helping us, and now we're going to get a chance to talk to him a bit.
Tommy Paratito does get the Huskies on the board in the third period.
And Michigan Tech now will work it up to Goats. Goats got a lead bat. 2-on-1 for the Huskies. Paratino over. And a shot. Rebound for Paratino. Scores! Big goal by the Huskies. A rebound. Paratino able to bury it. And the Huskies back in this game. Down 2-1.
So Tommy Paratino with the goal. Colin Swoyer and Grayson Reitmeier get the assist on that goal. And the Huskies with 12 shots in the third period, only 5 by Huntsville. And that was the only goal we were able to get by. Some great opportunities. We talked about Hallinan a little bit ago. He rung it right off the crossbar.
Yeah,
there.
A minute and a half left in the game, whatever it was, and beat the goaltender. That was one of the only times this weekend, like we talked about Ferris, how he hit 3 goal posts one night, 2 the other. This was one of the only times that we had him beat on a shot, on a point blank shot. Brian walked in off the wall and got into the slot, got into the hash mark area and put it right off the crossbar. But other than that, they were able to keep us to the perimeter in a pretty good fashion.
0 for 6 on the power play for the Huskies, 7 power play shots on goal. Huntsville did get a power play goal, 1 for 7. They had 9 power play shots on goal. Final score, 3-1 after they scored an empty netter towards the end there, and the Huskies end up with a split on the weekend. Tommy Paratino is in our studio. We're excited to talk to him about his game and how we're getting excited about the weekend coming up. It's all part of the Joe Sean Hour. If you have a question for Coach Sean, and you're listening on Monday Morning Live, you can send it in by email, dj@themix93.com. The Joe Sean Hour continuing right after these.
It takes hard work to reach goals. It's a truth that applies to more than sports. It goes for your financial goals as well. You work hard for your money. You deserve an investment strategy that lines up with your game plan. And your local Edward Jones financial advisor can help. If your investments aren't putting forth the effort, call me, John Nelson, your local Edward Jones financial advisor, at 482-8680 or stop by for a financial review. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
It's almost Busch o'clock. A time for relaxing and unwinding with a crisp, cold Busch beer. It's the most refreshing time of the day. Wait for it. 3, 2, 1. Busch. Crisp, cold, Busch. Enjoy responsibly. Busch Beer. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Right now, I'm holding a perfectly ice-cold Coors Light. You know how I know it's the perfect temperature? Because the mountain on the can is blue. And also, it's really cold. Every Coors Light is cold-filtered, cold-lagered, and cold-packaged. Notice how many times I said cold? 3 times. It's that cold. So make sure the mountain on your can of Coors Light is blue, because that means it's ready to enjoy. 2019 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Today's going to be cloudy. We'll see a high around 29 with west winds at 10 to 20 becoming northwest this afternoon. Tonight, cloudy skies, low of 12. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of a few snow showers. High tomorrow, 15. Tomorrow night, chance for a few snow showers early on. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, low around 7. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high around 24. This is Mix 93 meteorologist John D. WKMJ.
For the Huskies. Paratino will bring it down. Left-handed shot. Shoot! Scores! Paratino buried it! And the Huskies are going to the championship game for the fourth straight season. Inside the Michigan Tech zone, wrapped all the way around, and Paratino's going to get a chance to push this out, and does. And now a shorthanded opportunity for the Huskies. Coming across now is Paratino. Shot! Scores! Oh my goodness!
Well, a couple of big goals by Tommy Paratino, both from the Great Lakes Invitational, one of them from last year in that very exciting shootout in this past GLI where he scored that great shorthanded goal that got the Huskies, I believe, tied up at the time. And, Tommy, nice to have you in our studio here today. And those, I know you've had some pretty good highlights as a Michigan Tech Husky, but I would imagine those are two of the goals that you'll probably remember your entire life.
Yeah, for sure. Those are definitely special.
What was it, what is it like about, what is it, something about the GLI? I know you're playing close to home and all that stuff, but that, does that all kind of factor into wanting to play even, elevate that level of play even more?
For sure. And it's, you know, it's a big stage, and I think that helps a lot. And I think just getting prepared for a big stage, you definitely don't want to mess up. So
That's true. Tommy Piratino is with a sophomore forward for the Michigan Tech Huskies, and you've got the hat trick this year. You've got the big Great Lakes Invitational goal right there. You had another goal this past weekend. And I guess my first question to you, Tommy, before we talk about your family and kind of how you grew up, do you feel quite a bit different as a sophomore on this team than you did last year as a freshman?
A little bit. I think I'm a lot more comfortable. I think just doing the little things in practice over and over again definitely helps when it comes to games.
Yeah, and your line, obviously a great line right now with Blisser and Pietola out there. You guys, talk a little bit about the chemistry you guys got there.
Yeah, so we've been playing together for a little bit here, and Logan can definitely move his feet. He's a really good skater, and Bliss has that like Austin Matthews-like shot there, so it's definitely a lot of fun playing with those two.
And you're not a very big guy, but you play big out there. As Coach was talking about, you get in front of the net, but you're able to go through guys more so this year. Maybe you're taking those chances this year, but am I right that you're able to go through defenders more this year than last year?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. Definitely taking those risks a little bit more this year, being more comfortable out there and more confident helps a lot.
So do you have a favorite goal so far? I mean, you're very young in your career yet, only just over the halfway mark of your second season. But is there one goal so far that is on the top of your list as a Husky?
No, not really. I think the ones at GLI are pretty special because of the family there and the big stage. But other than that, I don't really have a favorite.
Yeah. The hat trick was pretty impressive against Bowling Green, too, though.
Yeah, and the goal, you know, the goal he got. Here's the thing. I remember recruiting Tommy, and he'll remember this. And what really got me about him, and what I would tell everybody, you know, when I was selling him on, we want this kid. When the game was on the line, like I still remember being out in San Jose, and he was playing in the national championships. When the game was on the line, he wanted the puck, and he made things happen with the puck. He's the guy that controlled everything that happened with the game on the line. He came from a high-level team that won a lot of games, and he was the guy that drove it. So that's what you look for in a player. Now he's starting to do that at this level consistently. Like, and look at the big goals he's got. You know, the hat trick against Bowling Green won us that Bowling Green game. The goal against last year against Michigan at the GLI won us that game, sent us to the finals. The goal he got this year against
Michigan State
set the stage for us to get, you know, in the third period to turn the momentum around and get us going. The goal he got the other night, the goal he got last weekend against Ferris, 1-1 in the third, or 1-0 in the third period, I believe, or whatever, and he scored, and we didn't win that game, and we didn't win the game the other night, but he got the goals to get us, you know, to tie the game up both times. That's what you're looking for in a hockey player. The players, and you hear him say it. He looks for the, you know, he likes the stage. Mm-hmm. He likes the stage. And what I really like about what he just said, I'm taking more risk. He said, I'm taking more chances. But they're calculated chances. They aren't turnover chances. They aren't chances that are costing us. They're in the areas where we want him to be a hockey player and do what he does. So it's been a pleasure watching him develop. It's going to be a pleasure for as long as he's here at Michigan Tech watching him.
You know, we talked to you a lot during the year, Tommy, but I don't think we ever got the explanation or the your description of that goal in the GLI this year, because it seemed like it was a weird shot that had come off your stick awkwardly. And just give us what happened on that one.
Yeah, I mean, the boys joke a little bit about how it was a change-up shot, but it kind of just rolled off the end of it and fluttered a little bit and went five-hole, actually. It doesn't
Is that
look
where
like
it went?
But it went, he kind of stacked one leg a little bit, and it went right through. So it's pretty lucky.
Wow. Rochester Hills is where you're from. Grew up a Wings fan and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Favorite player growing up?
Probably Steve Yzerman or Fedorov.
Yeah.
For sure, yeah.
You have a couple of brothers older than you, right?
I do, yeah.
Talk a little bit about them and what they do.
Ryan is 27. He lives down in Austin, Texas. He does sales for a cybersecurity company down there.
Cool.
David played 2 years of juniors, 1 year at Lincoln, 1.5 years at Lincoln, 4 years, 5 years at Canisius College. And now he's living in Nashville, so they all kind of met up there last weekend and drove down.
Okay. I was wondering where the connection was when we saw the parents and everything there. And so you were at, what, Youngstown and Des Moines, right, before you came to Michigan Tech?
Yep.
Did you enjoy your junior career?
I did. It was a lot of fun.
What's the biggest difference for you jumping to that D1 level?
Definitely the school, having the responsibilities of school every day and... You know, just the schedule changes a lot.
Can that help you, though, as far as being more structured, where maybe I've heard some kids talk about during their junior days that, you know, it's all hockey. They don't have to worry a whole lot about anything else, that sometimes they kind of drift, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely makes you focus on what's important to you.
Any big routines that you have before the game? I know a lot of guys have structure before the game. They eat that, they eat this, and they do this. Do you have any of that kind of those habits or superstitions?
Not really. The only really thing I have is I get half-dressed and tape my stick. That's pretty consistent with me.
After what?
I get half-dressed.
Oh, half-dressed.
Before the warm-ups. So I get my skates tied, and then I tape my stick.
You know, it was interesting, Coach, the Havoc playing before that Saturday night game in that, which was a packed crowd there. And we've had that before where there had been Huntsville Havoc, which, for people don't know, it's the Southern Professional Hockey League. And the guys seemed to be really enjoying watching that play and watching that exciting game.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun just like going, if you have the chance to go watch an NHL game before or anything. I was really lucky growing up. Tommy was the same way. There's a lot of hockey in our area that you could watch. He could go watch the Wings. He could go watch Plymouth Whalers. We had the Sioux Greyhounds over in the Sioux, you know, with Gretzky and Bob Probert and those guys playing on it. Paul Coffey growing up, and then we had Lake State when I was, you know, that we could go watch. So those things ignite you, especially if those teams win. You know, if he look at the players that he mentioned that he liked, Fedorov, Yzerman. Those guys won. They're NHL Hall of Famers. And they, when they inspire you, you know, he had the opportunity to probably go watch them practice and things like that and really see what they're all about. And that kind of makes him what he's all about.
So, Tommy, you wear number 9. Is there any significance there, or was there a number growing up that you always liked?
I like 91 because of Fedorov.
Because of Fedorov, yeah.
Yep. And then I was 9 in juniors. My brother was 9, too. So.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Are your brothers pretty supportive of you, I would imagine?
Yeah, very. They would... Definitely pushed me when I was younger, because I'm 4 and 5 years younger than them, so yeah. I would try to keep up with them.
Very good. Now, you don't seem like a guy that talks a whole lot in the locker room. Do you kind of take on the quiet role when it comes to in between periods or before games?
Yeah, you could say that, for sure.
Okay.
No, that is him. I remember he did play a little joke on me one time when he was up here on his recruiting visit. We were listening to music, and we were listening to the music here, right? And do you like this stuff? It's okay. Sorry. And what do you listen to? Mostly rap. I said, I don't know if I can find that, and I certainly don't have anything in my, selection here that's gonna work for that.
But, all right, yeah. So Tommy, I wanted to ask you. I know you weren't born Tommy, you were Thomas, right? So when did it become Tommy for you?
That is a good question.
I know. I that's what kind of come up with.
I do not remember how it all started, but I think it had something to do with being called Thomas the Train or something like that.
Okay. So I went to Tommy because I mean everywhere you go, it's Tommy. I mean your name is Tommy Paratino on your roster and everything like that. So, but then when I was looking you up, back when you became a Tech player, I was like, oh, he was actually born Thomas. So, because some people actually call their kids Tommy, so I didn't know if there was a significant story behind.
I'll tell you a huge thing that's going to help him this year, and he doesn't. I'm sure he's not looking forward to me saying that. He's been able to avoid Tyler Shalast twice. Like when he came in as a freshman, he didn't get the whole Tyler look at him smiling. And last year, he had a kamikaze basketball injury that that broke a bone in his knee, and so he didn't get to have that spring, that track A workout with Tyler. And Tyler's chomping at the bit to get him, because can you imagine him powering his way to the net at 200, 205 pounds?
How much do you weigh right now, Tommy?
170.
170?
Because his summer job is he's a pool guard. He's a pool guard in the summer. And unless he's bringing his barbells to there, you know, it'll be really good for him to get that a good workout in with Tyler. So even if he's injured, we're going to find a way for him to be able to lift something this year.
Well, no more injuries. You had an upper body injury earlier this year. That was against Lake State, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was you. So you're out for a couple of weeks with that. You've already had one Winter Carnival. What's exciting about the Winter Carnival thing for you?
Definitely the atmosphere and the buzz around the city. It definitely feels like the home opener weekend, or there's something that's going to happen this weekend, and you can feel it throughout the community.
Do you like the early game, too? I mean, we play 6 o'clock games now on Saturday at home. Do you like that, first of all?
Yeah, I like the 6 o'clock games.
It doesn't
games.
Get you out of your routine
no,
or anything like that?
No.
Waiting around is the toughest thing, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
And 5 o'clock game coming up this week. Well, let's get the nuts and bolts of the season. We always hear coaches' thoughts on the season, but so many good things have happened with this team this year, but yet I know there's still some frustration in the team in trying to get this home ice. What do you think needs to be done, or as a member of this team or as a team in general, that could, you know, really kind of go on a run here for the last 6 games?
I think we just really need to focus on doing the little things and keeping it simple, because when we keep it simple, we tend to play more predictable. And when we play more predictable, it's definitely easier for all of us to play the game the way it should be and get chances and not give up very many chances at all.
Joe earlier today was saying that this group has a tendency, after a really good game, to take the foot off the gas. Do you see that too, like what happened from Friday night to Saturday night at Huntsville?
Definitely, for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, I know you have class at 11 o'clock today.
Yep.
Business major.
Yep.
Everything going good?
Yep. So far, so good.
Do you have something that you want to do when you're done with your hockey career?
Not right now.
In the professional
specific.
World? No.
Nothing specific, no.
Do you have any desire possibly of coaching when you're done playing hockey?
Definitely, yeah. I can see that.
I can see that, too. You see that, Coach?
He's got a great way about him. He'd be a good recruiter, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Tommy, well, we'll let you go. We really appreciate you coming in early today and being with us. You're definitely one of the more fun guys, one of the fun guys to watch on the team. There's a lot of them, but your goals have been dynamic this year, and hopefully we get a couple from you this weekend and a lot more from the other guys, too, because we need the points, and this is going to be a lot of fun against Lake State University. Congratulations on all your success, and thanks again for coming on in, and good luck this weekend.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Tommy Paratino here on the Joe Sean Hour. He's fun to watch. Had a goal this past weekend, has scored some big goals down at the Great Lakes Invitational, and we'll be back with more right after this.
We know you've been planning for Valentine's Day for weeks. What, you haven't? Walgreens has you covered with everything you need to say Happy Valentine's Day in no time. Say, I love you with the perfect Hallmark card. Say, you're my sweetheart with the perfect box of chocolates. Or say, you make every day special with your Valentine's favorite fragrance. So head to a Walgreens only minutes away and get sweet gifts in a heartbeat. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Now with card through February 8th, select fragrances are 20% off and select Russell Stover chocolates are buy one, get one free.
The new best friend moment. The, is it my turn to get up moment?
Thanks, Dad.
The, they grow up so fast moment. You experience a lot of moments in your home. And at Kidde, we're here to remind you that installing fire safety products can protect them all. So take a moment to shop Kidde today and protect a lifetime of moments ahead. Find Kidde products at the Home Depot.
How to show up with Coca-Cola Energy. Hey, we've all been there. You're tired and you're thinking of canceling on your friends. But this decision has severe consequences. Every time you cancel on a friend, a unicorn loses its horn and becomes a regular horse. No magic, no horn, just horse. Horse. Do you really want that on your conscience? Instead, grab an ice-cold can of Coca-Cola Energy with delicious Coke taste and reinvigorating energy. Keep the unicorns alive! Show up every day with Coca-Cola Energy. Energy you want, taste you love.
Having fun and enjoying the things that you love doing most can even be tough when you're tired. Introducing new Coca-Cola Energy. It has delicious Coke taste and energy to help you enjoy all of life's most fun moments. And do it with a little more bounce in your step. Pick up an ice cold can today or grab another one to share with a friend and go have some fun. Show up with new Coca-Cola Energy. The energy you want, the taste you love.
Welcome back to the Joe Sean Hour here on Mix 93. Thanks again to Tommy Paratino for joining us here today, and good luck to him and the team this week. And I want to remind you, there is a Blue Line Club luncheon coming up on Friday. Head coach Joe Sean, I believe Damon Winton, will also be there talking about the big series. And, you know, you go back to earlier in the season when we swept at Lake State, always difficult to win in that building anyway, much less to sweep there. But, boy, they really played well against us, I thought, in that building. But we had some good goaltending, and the guys hung in there and got two big wins down there.
Coach. Yeah, we played well in that. And you know that Damon will, you know, he scheduled off last weekend to get ready for it. You know, it's a big deal for him to perform against Michigan Tech for sure.
So let's get to some questions. You still have time to get a question in if you would like to head coach Joe Sean. And the email address is dj@themix93.com. That's dj@themix93.com if you are listening here on Monday morning live. If you're listening back on Monday evening, it's recording, so don't send anything in. So let's get to our first question here today, Coach. And it reads from our listener like this. This listener says, I watch the Huskies and also listen on the radio show. I hear the coach talk often about culture and compete levels. When I watch, I see players being treated differently. Some are allowed to make the same mistakes over and over or take multiple penalties and always remain in the lineup, while others are benched after one mistake or one penalty and removed from the lineup. Coach Sean talks about depth to push from the bottom, but never allows these players a fair chance to play games in order to build depth. The culture he refers to won't ever exist if players are treated inconsistently or fear one mistake takes them out of the lineup, while others will play regardless of their play. Some good potential players need their same chance to play more than a game here and there to develop his so-called depth or push. Any comments on that, Coach?
It's not really a question. It's more of a statement that they want to hear, you know, me expand on, but it's not untrue. Certain players absolutely do have a shorter leash than others. For sure. You know, Mel used to call it money in the bank, you know, like, because coaches get the same questions all the time, especially when you're losing. You know, you don't get this question right after the GLI, you know, and going out and taking, you know, splitting with Arizona State. You get these questions now, and they're legit questions. And some players do get more of a grace. The real statement is, and if you remember last year, it was like, why do you play so many guys? Why don't you let these guys, you know, it was all about, you know, these guys aren't getting a chance because they're, you know, you keep putting guys in and out of the lineup. We've solidified 9 players right now, for the most part, that have differentiated themselves in the ability to perform from others. And I think that's pretty set. Now, one guy that's worked his way in, that sat out earlier and has worked his way in, and to a lot of credit to him and to the pressure that was on him, was Ray Bryce. Now, when you look at Ray performs to the best of his ability consistently every time we see him play. And he's got 5 goals. He's got 5 goals for us on the year. Now, Ray's going to pass up a 2-on-1 opportunity or a 3-on-1 opportunity and shoot the puck, because he's got it simplified as to what works for him. He's not going to get out of himself. He's going to work out what works for him, and it helps our team get better. The other night, he actually took ice time from other players on Friday night, and that was a huge part, and I said that, of the performance we had in the third period, because he went in and they scored. And he got the goal. It was a mucky goal in front. He played with some better players, and he got the goal. Now, you do the same thing on Saturday night, and you don't get the same jump out of Ray. But he still does his job, and he still performs for us, takes a couple penalties, and things like that. The reality of it is, we all, even myself, and that's why we all have to push to get better, is we find our norm. We find who we are, right? We'll always get back to that, to the baseline of what we are. And what we do over time, and what we're trying to do with our players over time, is to up that baseline. The question is from, you know, here is that, how do other people gain that? You gain it every day in practice. You're being evaluated by 4 or 5 of us every single day in practice, from rewatching practice And trust me, we're sitting down with these guys and going over and explaining to them, do this. And then when you get the chance to play in a game, do you perform? Do you make us better? Mitch Meek went in and he made us better. Mm-hmm. And so Mitch Meek has now played three or four in a row. That's a big deal. He made us better. Other guys went in and were on the ice for goals against and took penalties, as is said here. The leash is shorter because what do you get on the other side? You know, Mike Neville wasn't given power play opportunity. Reed Sturles wasn't given power play opportunity. Why don't these guys get power play opportunities when they have 20-something points? They have more points than other guys that are getting them. Because it wasn't felt, you know, by Mel and the staff that those guys warranted power play opportunity. Their role was a different role, and they did that role really well, just as Ray does, just as many other players do. You earn that opportunity. When you get that opportunity, you have to impact. The question is, well, give them a chance to impact by playing them more. But if they go in and they don't show the growth, then you're looking for something else of somebody that does. And other guys over time do more. Are you going to sit out a 9 or 10 goal scorer? Yeah, you would if we had a guy that could go in and replace that. And that's what I'm talking about, that could replace that. Great example, Max Vallas. We've talked about this. Max Vallas can't get in the lineup, but when he's in the lineup, he's in our top six and getting power play time. But he can't get in the lineup consistently. Why is that? Because Max Vallas didn't play with the same jam. And this isn't nothing that I didn't have the talk with Max Vallas. He didn't play with the same jam, the same compete level as a bottom six guy needs to. CJ Eich. He's not going to take CJ Eich's spot. We put Leibinger in the lineup. He's not going to take Leibinger's spot, move him from D to forward because he competed like a son of a gun. He's not going to take Neville's spot. He's not going to take Sturles' spot. But if David Johnstone or Malcolm Gould or Alex Patan are out of the lineup, we need that skill that those other guys, well, why don't you put Mike Neville in that spot? That's not his strength. We're going to play him to his strength. Mm-hmm. Max Vallas goes in there. He might put up a point. He might get an assist or something like that. But when the other guy comes back, why aren't I playing? Because you're not a top six guy. You're a bottom six guy on us. You're not better than those guys at what they do. And you're not better at these guys at what they do. So you have to find what you do and do it really well consistently. Ray Bryce does what he does really consistently. Poglace, at one point in 55 games now or whatever, we know what we're going to get out of him. Now, he sits out at games, and we're using Crespi and things more to allow him to grow because he can make a play. But he hasn't shown consistency that he doesn't die off in the second half of the game. So when we see that growth, that consistency, he'll probably take somebody's job if he grows and has it within him to be able to give us 60 minutes. Remember how much we talked about last year and even early this year? Boy, we hope if we could just get a complete game out of Tommy Paratino, because really what we get out of him right now is we'll get a shift of brilliance and then a shift of average and then a shift, you know, then three shifts of average and then shift. And that was the same talks that we were having with Tommy. Tommy, when you learn to give us a whole game of compete, you're going to be a great player. Well, Tommy Paratino's turned in to be a great player, and he's given it to us. He's scoring big goals at the right time. He's competing on every shift. He's not involved in scoring chances against. He's developing into a hockey player, and he's doing a great job at it. So you have to earn the opportunity, and when you earn the opportunity, you have to get it, and you have to make the most of it, or else someone else is going to get a chance, and we're going to try to find who's growing in practice. You first earn it in practice, and when you get in the game, you have to perform. I'll tell you what. There's a lot of times no one that's having better practices, no one, than David Raisinen, big forward that we have. We've given him two starts on the year because when he gets in the game, it doesn't equate. And we've talked to him about that. Now, at some point, I think with him, it's going to equate. And that big 6'3", 6'4" body at 200-something pounds is going to figure it out and it's going to impact. It's not there yet. You know, it's not there yet. When he gets in the game, he doesn't give us the jam that Poglace gives us, the jam that even Crespi gives us, the jam that and he doesn't play center, and he doesn't give us the jam that Bryce gives us. Now, those guys don't give us the consistent offense, obviously, that the guys above them give us. Mm-hmm. So we're doing the best we can to But that, I guess that's a long answer to that question.
All right, next comment and question, Coach. Joe, I wanted to say, in the midst of all the negativity, that the loss this weekend was not your fault, nor was it entirely the team's fault. There have been a lot of changes to overcome this season. While getting the W always feels good, sometimes it just isn't in the cards. Know that you still have many loyal fans and friends standing behind you. I'm looking forward to the series against Lake State this weekend. I think it'll be a good one, just like the one in November. The question here says, that being said, do you think there may be a goaltending change this weekend?
You know, I've been getting that. You just said we let in 7 goals in the last 5 games. Are some softer goals going in than normally happen? Yeah. Can Jurusic steal us a game, which is what I really look for in goaltending? He has. He had a 19-save first period against Michigan in the GLI win, and then we were able to get our legs under us and get going. He had a big game at Lake State in the second game and helped us get a win. He's done a good job for us. His numbers are very good. He's got like a 2.01 goals against, a 922, 925 save percentage. His numbers nationally and within the league are right up there with the best guys. I mean, there's obviously McKay at Mankato is walking away with it with like a 1.1 or something, 1.2 mm-hmm. goals against, but Drusik's done a good job. Do I think that Robbie and Blake can do a great job for us? I do. But we look at Blake and we put him in the last game and we gave up some goals early, right, in the last start he had. And then we ended up, I think, putting Matty back in. Right now we're fighting for points. It's not a time to experiment with goaltending unless we just feel, which I've been thinking that Matty might need a rest, you know, take him out a game and put Robbie or Blake in and let them try to steal us an inspired game and do their job. I think they're all capable of it. I think they're all capable. A year ago, when are you going to settle on a goaltender? What are you going to, you know, you can't make everybody happy. I appreciate the person. I don't see the negativity or sense the negativity. I don't read blogs. I don't see that. All I try to do is focus on us getting better. Here's what I think our deal is. And another, you know, I this stuff, you live it. You live it when you go to sleep at night. You live it when you wake up in the morning. You're compelled with it. You try to balance your life as best you can. But here's the way I look at it. Here's what the Michigan Tech's deal is. I've said it 101 different ways. Maybe this one hits. When I talk about, you know, the one question, you talk about competitiveness, Joe, and you talk about culture. I think our culture is outstanding. I really do. I think our guys are still working. You know, we on a normal team, we get 3 goals with 19 scoring chances as we did the other night. I mean, a goaltender with 19 scoring chances against, I mean, our threshold is 21. If you allow a goal every 7 scoring chances against, you've done your job. So their goaltender on Friday night more than did his job because we had 29 scoring chances and scored 4. On Saturday, he was just under that threshold, but he's still in that range where he won a game for you. We give up 6 scoring chances and allowed 2 goals against. So that's why this is person's asking us. We aren't giving up much. Everybody sees we aren't giving up much, and we're giving up 2 goals against. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's still 2 goals against. We just got to get that extra goal. Here's the way when I'm talking about competitiveness. You have a guy, another analogy. You have a guy that's at the free throw line. Are we running out of time here?
No, go ahead.
You have a guy that's at the free throw line. He's going to be, I don't know, what are they, 80%, 85% at the free throw line. Now you put a guy in front of him, defending him. Is he still 80% at the free throw line? No. And now the question is, what happens from there? Now, the competitive side of it, and what I say, and when I talk about perimeter play and things and that, we would move backwards. A lot of guys would. Now, Hallinan doesn't. Pertino doesn't. But we have a lot of guys that would move backwards to try to get that shot, to give them the time to try to get as much time or close to it that they do at the free throw line. Well, your odds go down of scoring from back there, mm-hmm. of putting it in. Now, where basketball is different than hockey, let's change the shooting around. Let's say that you get 3 points for scoring in a certain area underneath the basket, and you get 2 points for scoring from outside, or 1 point for scoring from way out there, where because they probably changed it because the big guys dominated the game, the big strong guys, they wanted to make parity within basketball, I would imagine. But let's say that happened, and you were more rewarded for getting into that hard area. Well, you'd see more big guys and more, you're rewarded in basketball for moving backwards and taking more perimeter type shots. You don't get that reward in hockey. You have to grind your way underneath that basket. You have to grind your way into that net. That's where the goals happen. That's where every goal happened this weekend. There wasn't a range goal scored this weekend in the game. There often is not a range goal. Look at the goals that Ferris State got. They're not range goals. Sometimes you get lucky, get deflection, which we got, I think, Seamus Donahue's, their guy deflected it back in the net, but that's a deflection. You either have to make the goalie move with, on a perimeter type deal and shoot it quickly before he gets across, or you gotta muck that thing out and get it into a hard ice area and bang away at it and get it in the net, or create odd man rushes and be able to execute. That's the analogy. Everybody's gonna score. Percentages go up when no one's guarding you. In hockey, what do you do? Do you attack and try and beat that guy into a better range shot, knowing that you're going to get pressure? Or do you back off and hope that guy doesn't come after you when you have time to make a play? We can't play perimeter. You don't win in hockey playing perimeter. And we have guys that, by rule, like to get to the outside. And the people say it. Shoot. You can hear them up there on the power play. Shoot, shoot. I mean, they want people. Don't just play with that puck out there. Get that puck in and shoot. And everybody wants that. Is it natural, and do guys gain confidence by being able to do that? That's what we're setting up those situations in practice. That's where we talk about how we're going to get the one more goal. That's why the goals that you set on Friday night are so important, and Paratino's on Saturday night, because they're the other ones you might get, right? Mm-hmm. But you're going to get more of that with shooting from the outside and a guy being right there getting a rebound or screening the goaltender, if that makes any sense at all. So, thank you for the comment. I think our culture is good. Our locker room is good. Our mood is good. Our players are working hard. They're getting better. They're not, it's not like it was last year by any means where guys just want to shortcut it and things like that. We're just trying to help guys change to pursue their goals in life and help make us a better team. And it's not natural. It's not natural for these guys. And we're trying to, and the guys that it is natural for, Hallinen, Pertino, a little bit more, they're having success. That's the best I can say.
Quick break. We'll be back with more questions right after this.
It's Winter Carnival time at Michigan Tech, and there are only three locations to get your authentic Winter Carnival gear. The Michigan Tech Campus Store, University Images, and online at bookstore.mtu.edu. We offer long and short sleeve t-shirts, crewneck sweatshirts, hoodies, and glassware. And of course, remember to get your collectible Winter Carnival button. For store operating hours, check our website and social media feeds. Stop in for warm smiles and great deals as our clearance racks are stuffed. Accept no substitutions. We are your official headquarters for all your Michigan Tech and Winter Carnival apparel and souvenirs.
Check out these great deals all month at Bucco's in Calumet. Red Baron Pizzas, 3 for only $11. All 6 packs of 12-ounce canned beer on sale. All 2 liters, 2 for $3. All Canada Dry, 8 packs. Flavored seltzer waters, 2 for $5. Along with all kinds of energy drink bargains. Stay warm with Keweenaw Alpaca gear in the clothing department. With fishing coming up, they have the new fishing licenses and DNR and ORV licenses, plus some snowmobile needs. All sales do not include tax and deposit at Bucco's in Calumet.
Hello, business owners. This is Mike Mikola
and Jeff Mikish from the Turvo Agency. Do you wish your business insurance plan was simple and easy to understand?
With our team's more than 50 years of combined experience in the insurance business, we have developed ways to simplify the process for you.
Stop in to see us at 230 Quincy Street in downtown Hancock, or give us a call at 482-0080 to set up an appointment.
Turvo, insurance simplified.
Welcome back to the Joe Schaan Hour. I want to remind everybody about the Blue Line Luncheon at noon on Friday. Head Coach Joe Schaan and Head Coach Damon Witten will be your guest speakers. $10 charge. Must reserve by Thursday by emailing blueline@mtu.edu. And again, that is at noon on Friday for that luncheon. We're trying to get through these questions here for you guys. And the next one, Coach, last week it was said that we need that extra goal, which by the stats is true, but then we go 0-4 on the power play this weekend, which, by the way, is not true. The Huskies did go 1-4 on the Friday night power play. What level does the system look to skate/pass into the zone versus dump it in and then go pick it up back behind our net?
back behind our net?
That's what they have.
I think they're dumping it. Well, I think they're talking about in the power play. We answered the other deal. I think we answered about the one more goal. The power play is a good question. Now, let's see what we did on Friday night to get that power play goal. We replaced Blisser with Ganey and I believe Misiak. And we ground out a backdoor goal with Hallinen getting the puck in the net because I thought the power play, I work one unit. Brooksy works one unit. I thought my unit was too perimeter. On the other side of that, we popped two breakaways and look how many goals we've got, more than I remember in the past, mm-hmm. and especially scoring chances on entry zone. Mm-hmm. Unless they're saying that we shouldn't be doing that, but we've created a lot of scoring chances this year on the rush on breakouts because we've added a lot of elements to it and guys have made some really good reads on it. As we did this weekend, we popped a 2-on-1 in a breakaway, on the power play on zone entry. Again, it comes back to our compete level on how, on the power play. If I say two things, watch the power play because those are your impact offensive guys and watch faceoffs. Those will give you a good indication of how hard a team is competing on that given night because, and you say it often, oh, coaching, you know, another thing we were really good at, we were really good at faceoffs. Smitty was 24-5 on faceoffs, and those usually are after win nights.
Right.
And the power play was 1-for-3 or whatever. So those are good indicators of whether your top guys are perimeter, if you're not getting power play, because they're not set up that way, trust me. And it's a good indication on faceoff of how hard you're competing, getting in there, secondary guys getting in and helping you win battles.
Next question for you, Coach. How much time do you and your staff spend on recruiting a top tier prospect? And is it something that you know instantly, whether or not he is going to like to come to the UP and Michigan Tech, and if not, do you try to convince them to consider Michigan Tech? How does that all work?
We go after the best guys we possibly can. I don't have the philosophy of not getting in the fight. We just get in there. We get in there and try to gauge interest right away. The other thing we do is ask all the time. Okay, we lost two last week, two top end recruits, going to big schools, obviously, and why didn't you come? And the one guy, everything says I should have gone there, but ended up choosing a different school. Agents get involved. Draft status gets involved. A lot gets involved. And to be honest with you, let me say it this way. Roy, Patan, Hannah, Neville, Baltus, they all committed, and Lesperance, old Blake Piedla, they all committed and came in on the old WCHA. All right, that's used against us right now, and that's why so many schools are forming. That's one of the reasons they're forming a new league because of that perception. They want a league that has a better perceived top to bottom. Now, is that fair to the Alaskas? Is that fair to Huntsville? Absolutely not. Is it fair to anybody else? But that's why. Even the NCHC, when they did it, they weren't letting St. Cloud in. St. Cloud's been one of their best teams. That was a behind-the-scenes deal that was done. They were waiting for Notre Dame. Notre Dame went to Hockey East. They said, okay, at the last minute, they hired Gino Gasparini to go in, brokered the deal, and they got into the league. So I'll tell you what we're fortunate to do. Does Tanner Carroll come to Michigan Tech if it's not Houghton, Michigan? Does Brian Hallinan come to Michigan Tech? Does Devin Carroll? We have been so fortunate. Do the two Piedla twins come here if they don't have ties to Michigan Tech? We play that hard, but we go after every single guys. They break your heart going after them. All we need is a couple difference makers. And, you know, if I could make a trade right now, and I don't mean trade players, so let's not get into that game here. But if we had assets, if it was junior hockey or pro hockey, and I could trade a first-round draft pick right now for two top offensive guys that you know are going to – for Alex Patan and pick one of our other guys, you know, I would do that because I think we're that close. And I think great players like that make other players better. We've had guys here that have been okay players that played with great players that made them better. I would do that right now and things would turn around in a big hurry. We're doing it from within and working our tails off on recruiting. I think you'll like some of the guys we have, but we're not done. We're still going. We're out this week. We're out next week. We're going after it hard.
Next question, Coach. How much do you value a player's plus minus total?
I value it, but I value more their plus minus scoring chance value. That's what I look at, how their involvement, and that's why, you know, when you get into these, when you get into these depth play, the first question that we had, how do they don't get a chance. If they're involved in scoring chances against and they're not generating any scoring chances for, we're doing something different. You know, we have one player in particular, love him, great player, practices, a very good player in practice, but is involved when he goes in scoring chances against and none for. And they get singled out. And so we're looking for that balance. You know what I mean? Other guys are involved in scoring chances against, but are also involved in maybe one or two more scoring chances for. That's the difference. Now, yeah, that answers it. Scoring chances to me are more important because they equate to plus minus. If a guy has a plus and he's not involved in a play at all, but he's playing with good players, you know, he certainly gets kudos, but the guys who are impacting the scoring chances for and against are what mean more to me.
Game time, 7:07 on Friday night, 5:07 on Saturday night. The Huskies taking on Damon Whitten and the Lake Superior State Lakers. This is going to be a great series. Tickets are available. Don't miss out. The Winter Carnival atmosphere at the John McGinnis Student Ice Arena is second to none. And we'll, of course, have the broadcast for you also here on Mix 93. So tune on in as you're making your way to the Johnny Mac with a 6:30 pregame. Yeah, Coach.
Yeah, one last thing. Thanks so much to the Misfits who made the trip down this weekend. Thanks so much to the alumni and supporters who were at the game. It was outstanding.